How many here enjoy 80s music? Maybe a few hands. I do enjoy 80s music, certain things, but you probably will recognize this song. It was by Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for a Hero. Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? It isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? And then it goes on to say, I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's got to be strong, and he's got to be fast, and he's got to be fresh from the fight. Now, like Bonnie Tyler and her song, in many people's minds, heroism or heroic actions are tied to physical traits. Someone who's strong, somebody who's fast, somebody who's able to physically fight well if they had to. But what about those who are not physically strong anymore? You look back at one's life and you think, boy, I used to be able to do that. I did appreciate Holly Byers' jokes that she had and some of those details that she mentioned. Finally got 8 hours of good rest. It only took 3 days to get it. Those details, and you look back and you think, things are a little different now, maybe a little more challenging. But can one still have heroic actions? What about those who are older, but they just can't do as much when they were younger? And for some, it just kind of sneaks up on you. You think, and I remember, of course, I know you all look at me and you say, hey, little young whippersnapper, and then there's little details in my life where I could tell, I can't do that anymore. I didn't realize that was going to be the last time I would be able to do that, playing sports, playing basketball, different things. And remember rolling my ankle one time, and my ankle swelled up really big, and I thought, well, this is another sprained ankle, still be able to go out there and dunk a basketball, just be a few months of rehab, and like, no, that was it. That was that time, and it moved on. And so there are those certain times where you look back and you think, well, okay, can't do that anymore. And that is the process of growing older. But I've talked with different ones, different individuals, and those who have faithfully served in the church for many, many years, where they have worked in a physical way and helped in serving in a physical way. Some who are now in their 80s, their 90s, and I hear kind of the similar sentiments, which is, I'm not able to do as much as what I have been able to do. So how am I helping today? Or, I don't feel quite as valuable as maybe I was before when I knew I could do all of these things. But yet their physical strength is not what it used to be. I look around today, I look around here and in Wichita, and I see heroes. I see godly heroics that are not tied to physical strength, but it's matters pertaining to the heart. A hero, by definition, is a person who is admired for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. A hero in the church is based on godly courage, godly achievements, or godly qualities. Despite one's age, godly heroics are never to cease either. So while one may not be able to rescue a cat from a tree, those days are gone, that heroism is gone. May not be able to run a marathon anymore. There's still the details that are there tied to the heart, where one can still have very heroic actions, godly heroics that are still needed in every phase of life. It never stops, and it will continue on until the return of Jesus Christ, or until we go to sleep. Now, one thing is for certain, that there is the aging process. That doesn't change. And we do recognize that there's certain honor or glory to be found at different stages of life in a physical way. But yet there's the one consistent thing that keeps going on, and that is the matters pertaining to the heart. In Proverbs 20 and verse 29, it says, "The glory of a young man is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray hair. One might want to argue that, but it's true. You know, while the youth maybe has strength as their glory or honor, sometimes, again, you know, referring back to the glory days, what is that one song? I can't think of the name of it, by Toby Keith. Not as good as what I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. So there's the pride that was there, but it was in the physical ways. It was in finding a girl, having a bar fight, win a bar fight. You know, wasn't able to do what I could do, but you know, a little bit. You know, they still had that zip in them a little bit. It just was waning. But what about when that fizzles out completely? You know, but that may be the glory days, I guess. The glory and honor, as somebody refers to, back in their youth. And then the gray hair, it says, is like a crown on the head, and it represents honor and value of wisdom, basically, if one has yielded to wisdom and direction from God in their life. There's one article from Reader's Digest, and it refers to an individual sort of acknowledging their new hair color. But it says that, you know, or the individual says, you know, their hair, it isn't white or gray. They just got wisdom highlights. And so there's a little bit of truth with that. There is wisdom that can come with older age if one is willing to yield to godly wisdom, if that is there, you know, and that is a part of the heart. Righteousness is the standard. It doesn't change when one is young or one is old. That has to stay the same. Those are matters of the heart. There's honor and glory if the godly heroics are there, and that is tied to righteousness. You know, I've read this verse, Proverbs 16 and verse 31, many times as you go through the book of Proverbs and you contemplate, but I think sometimes I've glossed over this one, that it says in Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory, and that there is honor that is there. Honor to whom honor is due. And of course, honoring father and mother, you know, honoring those who are older than us, giving preference, and that is there. That is established despite one's lack of perfections. No parent is perfect, but yet children are still to honor their father and mother. But so here it is, you know, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory. But the next statement is, if it is found in the way of righteousness. You know, apart from God's Spirit working in one, and the mind of Christ dwelling in one, if we just grow older apart from that, our human nature will also grow older too and develop more and more and more. So without that righteousness being formed, there won't be that same amount of glory. But the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Righteousness is a heart issue. It's not according to physical strength. It is a matter of the heart. As one continues to age and go through the aging process, there still are heroics to be found at any age because godly heroics are a matter of the heart. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, familiar verse that we have, Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man, so we would say young or old, every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So even looking back at historical heroics and individuals who have served in the church year after year, those dedicated servants, think, what was so compelling? And you may have certain individuals in your mind where you think, they set a wonderful example, and I can think of a few, and of those of you sitting here today, a wonderful example of service and love and dedication towards the church. But what are the details of that? Why is it admirable? You know, what were the actions to take note of? What are the crux of godly heroics? Now, we could go through a list. Well, so-and-so, he's given 250 sermonettes in his time, okay, or whatever. You know, how many sermonettes one gave in a lifetime? Is that what we go by? Was it based upon how many chairs one stacked? Was it based upon how many potlucks one has helped to prepare? Was it based on how many Bible classes were taught or webcasts prepared? You know, all of these are very wonderful, and I'm not diminishing the efforts that go into it and greeting people at the door and all of the details that we do to help serve in the Church of God. We need to. It's a great form of service to God. But when it comes down to the most important thing, where there is service involved, what is the most important thing? Of course, it has to do with the heart. What is God searching for? You know, what is the fruit that God is looking for as he searches the heart? Is it, well, you know, this person did this so many times, that's it. You know, God is looking at the heart, and we need to have both. So when we think about some of the details here, the first thing is, one, are they willing to serve and able to? So one may be able to, but is one willing to? That would be the very first thing. And that looks at the heart, able and willing. The next question might be, is the action of service done cheerfully unto God? A cheerful heart, a willing heart. Another action or thought is the physical way of serving done with humility and faithfulness? These are matters of the heart. And if one is able to serve, are they a team player, and do they promote unity in the church? These are a part, and this is a part, of godly heroics and matters of the heart that's not just tied to the physical strengths of an individual, but it's about the heart. And so today I would like to look at some heroes of old. They're heroics that are not contingent upon one's physical strength. And I hope it's encouraging, because as we grow older and we notice certain things, we might find ourselves discouraged. Now, God doesn't want us to be discouraged. What is the scripture that I'm thinking of now? You know, as the outward man is perishing, the inward is being renewed day by day, and that is a part of our calling. But you know, we aren't to be faint of heart or discouraged in that way, because even though, you know, outward man is perishing, we can have confidence that within there is a strength and a growth that is taking place, and we are being renewed day by day as we yield to God. But let's look at some of the heroes of old where their heroics were not contingent upon great physical strength, but more so about matters of the heart. Luke 21 and verse 1, we'll start there, as we have the example of the widow's mite. Luke 21 and verse 1. And we have an individual who did not have much gold. They had copper. She had some little bit of copper. But really, she was building with gold. What she was building with and what foundation she was building on was gold. It was precious metals, really, because that was what was in her heart. Luke 21 in verse 1. Luke 21 in verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites, basically two little copper coins that weren't of much value. But does that make her of least value? No. So he said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of the abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had." You know, with the whole heart that offering was made, the livelihood. She put her whole heart into it, everything, her livelihood. You know, what did she do to scrimp to buy, to be able to just do those two little copper coins? And that was basically everything that she had. There was something behind those actions. It wasn't just in giving an offering. It was giving as she was able, but doing it with her whole heart. The attitude and sacrifice and worship to God was phenomenal. A hero. Very heroic actions, and this pleased God, and she was a hero based on actions pertaining to the heart. you know, being a cheerful giver and having that attitude of not only the action, you know, that's step one, being obedient, what we should do, but that action that is behind the heart of the action and the attitude that it's done with. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. It talks about the cheerful giver. You know, in our approach, we can think about this. It's not just in giving an offering. It could be giving our time in service, our time towards one another, our time towards our family, our time in serving anyone, and whatever we're able to do, whether it be pray or send a card. And with what attitude do we give, and what attitude does God take note of? This is the heroic actions we can contemplate. And again, as we think of individuals serving in the church, you think about those who did it with such joy and such loving attitude and heartfelt attitudes. But it says, verse 6 of chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." In how we help one another and what we do for one another, you know, it's not out of necessity or begrudgingly, or this is so burdensome. We relish the opportunities to help one another because we know we're serving God in the process. In verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So you think, well, as we're kind of on this bar graph, not a bar graph, line graph maybe, as we look at our physical lives, as it kind of goes up, and then it peaks, and then maybe it starts to decline. But yet, spiritually, we can keep growing, and we can keep growing abundantly, as it says, and the increase of the fruits of our righteousness can grow. And that has to do with the heart. It starts with the attitude of giving abundantly in our heart as it purposes, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But out of the abundance, you know, there of our hearts, God will supply an abundance. There's a growth, there's a strength. And so while physically we might not be growing in the same way, spiritually we can continue to grow if we have the right attitude and the right heart. And this also we can think about just as an example, prayer. You know, that is one thing we can all do no matter what our age is. But how do we pray? And with what fervency do we pray? Do we cry out to God for help? Are we consistent, persistent, and predictable with our prayer life? Another hero of old is mentioned in the parable that Jesus Christ gave, that of a prayerful, persistent widow. Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me.' And then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Faith is a matter of the heart. Do we trust God? Can we continue to go to him? Do we pray one time? We don't have an answer. Well, he hasn't heard me. Obviously, he doesn't care. That's it. Or do we go back? Do we continue to? Do we cry out for help from God? Do we recognize that He knows all things? There's an interesting scripture in Psalm 56 and verse 8. Let's go ahead and turn there briefly. The attitude behind that. No matter what our age is, we can go to God. We can cry out to God, knowing that He knows all and He hears our prayers, that He notices. Psalm 56 and verse 8. Notice what we're told here. It says, "You number my wanderings. You put my tears into a bottle, into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" You know, that God has basically like a book of remembrance. How many tears, how many bottles this individual filled. God knows the details of one's life. How many tears? And this is a, you know, are they not in your book? Your bottle of tears that He knows when we cry out to Him. To think, you know, he knows all. He and we can go to Him. And we can continue to go to Him, knowing that He has the power to answer. But that is faith. That is a part of the heart. You know, one's faith is never defined by age. Young or old alike, we can never doubt God's faithfulness and His power to work with one despite age or physical limitations or lack of strength. Let's turn to Genesis 18 and verse 9. Genesis 18 and verse 9, we have an example of Sarah. God promised to establish His covenant with Isaac through Sarah. And when God told Abraham, he first laughed, of course, as we remember. He tells him, and surely not, you know, he says, she's not going to bear a child at 90. And he laughed. You know, I don't know if God found that funny on his end or not. We aren't told, but he laughed. Don't know if God was laughing because He did not want them to doubt the power and what He would do through any age. But He was going to fulfill His promise through Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 18 and verse 9, then we get to Sarah's response too. Now in her heart, she also laughed. This was what was in her heart when it was told to her. But Genesis 18 and verse 9, and then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "I have grown old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" You know, God says, age is not an issue. That's not the deal. Don't diminish my power and what I can do through anybody at whatever age. So sometimes I think we too can put limitations on what God wants us to do or what we can do. You know, with God, all things are possible, and to continue to do all that we can, whatever age we are. And He says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. But He said, "No, you did laugh." And again, it shows God sees all, knows all, and hey, you know, He's going to still do what He said He was going to do, and fulfill that promise and the covenant through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it was going to be how He had planned. You know, it doesn't really stop there, though, as we think about what profound implications this was with the covenant. This goes far beyond generations, where all nations will be blessed. You think about national heroes. You know, sometimes it's tied back to an individual. We think, well, this nation was blessed, and you can look online, the heroes of the United States of America. You know, and you have the founding fathers. You have Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and all of these different individuals who, these are the heroes, you know, but yet they're is a lack of understanding for the hero of all heroes, whose seed, Abraham's seed, that being Jesus Christ, all blessings have come through, and how it affected generation upon generation. You know, that promise was not based upon age, but upon faith and faithfulness to God and his covenant. Generations and future generations would be a part of that covenant, but it started when God started that. Galatians 3 and verse 5. Galatians 3 and verse 5. It says, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Again, faith is matters of the heart. It's matters pertaining to the heart. He didn't say there was an age requirement on this. Of course, those who have God's Spirit are to yield to God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. But it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all nations shall be blessed." So not only Jews, but the Gentiles, to be able to be blessed. And that is by faith. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And drop down to verse 15. "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed," that being Jesus Christ, his seed, "were the promises made. He does not say into seeds, as of many, but as one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Drop down to verse 18. "For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." We have the ability to be a part of the promises through the one seed, that being Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, and receive the promises of Abraham, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul was placing emphasis on that word, seed. Jesus Christ is the hero of all heroes. All future blessings regarding eternal life goes through him. And, you know, who is he? Who is Jesus Christ? He is referred to in some scripture as the Ancient of Days. He's always existed. The oldest one ever. The Ancient of Days. And that is who the blessings come through. When you think about, again, national heroes or historical heroes, history is oftentimes measured by the character and the deeds of men and women who have had the most profound impact on their generation and nations. When you think about Jesus Christ, he has had the most profound impact on all generations and all nations. But we attribute our success at this nation as a whole, you know, attribute it to physical heroes. But they miss the understanding that it is through the hero of all heroes and the one whose steps we strive to follow. There's a book that, taking a look at again, the book is called Behold the Man, written by Taylor G. Bunch. And it says, he says so eloquently, I'd like to share this this with you, just a couple little paragraphs. But it says, "Most scholars believe that the modern nations owe their existence and glory to a small group of their national heroes. The careers and influence of Earth's mighty men, however, have been short-lived. Like shooting meteors, they blaze amid the darkness of a few brief moments and then burned out and disappeared in virtual oblivion. Just as national history and national heroes are inseparable, so world history can be rightly understood and appreciated. So world history can be rightly understood and appreciated only in the light of the deeds, character, and influence of Jesus Christ. He is the man of men, the hero of heroes, the beacon of all history, the great I am of all time. He is the arbiter and an individual and world destiny, and true history is really his story. Jesus Christ is the creator, preserver, benefactor, and redeemer of all mankind, and he is the first and the last, all in all, that is worthwhile. So I thought that is very well stated, so eloquently stated. Before you and I had any sort of history to bear fruit, to bear fruits of righteousness, to have works or fruits of repentance, you know, God the Father drew us to Jesus Christ, and the one who has always existed. But it is the ancient, I mean, think about this, the one who has always existed, the oldest one who has ever been around, he's always existed, the eternal, ancient of days, that is who has started a good work with you and I. That is who is working with us. Let's turn to Daniel 7 and verse 9, where we have this reference of the ancient of days. Daniel 7 and verse 9, vision of the Ancient of Days. It says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Here we have the description of him. It's purity. His hair, like pure wool, white. His garment, white as snow. He's perfect and pure in every way, and there is no blemish in his character. He is a hero of all heroes, and is that same character that he is striving to instill with his children, those who are willing to yield to him, whose heart is turned towards him, who is willing to change and be like him. He is the ultimate hero because he made the ultimate sacrifice. And it proves so much that it wasn't about physical strength. For him to dwell in eternity, to have all of the glory that he had, and to give that up and to empty himself to the point of death, to come and be a human being, to lower himself to be a human being, and then to die as a criminal, as a worse criminal would, he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and it wasn't about physical strength. He could have had physical strength and dominance in any way that he wanted to. His strength is unmeasurable. But he humbly emptied himself completely. He gave up his eternal glory to be a human being and to die like the worst sinners died, although he was perfect. The ultimate sacrifice so that you and I have hope. And it is so you and I can bear fruits today and glorify the Father today. It is the mind of Christ being formed in us. He set that example that we are to follow. The hero of all heroes with the most perfect sacrifice for mankind for all time. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, you think about the heart and the mind, of course, that's tied together. That's where it is. This is what we should concentrate on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. You know, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate humility and service. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He is the hero of all heroes. And that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ gave up all his glory and power and strength so that you and I might serve one another in humility and follow his example. He came as a bondservant and was willing to allow his physical body to be destroyed so that we might have eternal life. When we think about our physical bodies, they mean a lot to us in this physical life. But he allowed his physical body to be destroyed so that we might live eternally. It is about the future to come. He gave us the example to follow no matter what our physical state. John 13 and verse 12. John 13 and verse 12. It says, so when he washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So the hero of all heroes is saying, follow my example. Do this to one another. Humbly serve one another. Wash each other's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you who do them. So that is the example that we are to, that he set for us to follow, and we are to do that with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right mindset. The heroes in the church, as we think back of historical heroes who've served so much in the church, they follow the example of humbly serving with love and with humility and with unity. In the church, we are unified through Jesus Christ. We are a part of the body of Christ. And, you know, I think about different individuals, and occasionally I even hear individuals, you know, comment about this person or this person, some who are already asleep in the grave. But, you know, one individual talked about how, well, Mr. George Meeker, you know, the consistent outgoing concern that he had, even in his latter years of life. And what was he able to do? Well, he was able to send books to individuals who he thought might enjoy that. They wouldn't ask for it. They said they would just receive a package. Oh, that was for Mr. Meeker. Thought, here's a book I thought you would enjoy. You know, he was outward in his approach and his thinking, and with what he was able to do, he did, and he did a lot. I still think about Gloria Williamson and the sending cards. You know, here she's struggling, such a great health battle. And, you know, she's sending literally 13, 14 cards to individuals. You know, attitudes and a mindset of service and love and humility. And we could go on and on, individuals who have served tirelessly with however they were able to serve. Think about some of the retired ministers of the past. They've retired, but they don't stop serving. They're retired, but they're still very actively calling members, widows, individuals, younger ministers, what can I do to help? I'll pray for you. What, you know, there's still that love and concern for the brethren. These are the heroes of old, and these are the individuals who have followed Christ's example, the heroes of all heroes. But it's the part and the example that they have shared is the example of perseverance and unity in the body of Christ, working together and displaying a love and humility that Jesus Christ set first in the example that he first displayed for us. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the acceptable perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We are to work together as a team. We are to be living sacrifices in the body of Christ, working together in unity and in harmony with teamwork. Individually, we're not going to be very heroic. We all have something to overcome. We all have something that we have been called to do and to grow and to change and to repent and to overcome. Individually, we will go so far. And individually, we must be close to God. But we are successful as a body, as the body of Christ. We are successful as a team. That is the way we will reach new heights, if you will. There's a book entitled The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. It's a true story about the University of Washington's rowing team and their quest for gold in the 1936 Olympics. This was challenging for many different reasons. You had Hitler, who was, of course, he had his rowing team, and that rowing team was supposed to be the symbol of his dominance and strength that he was going to exude. And so that rowing team obviously was going to do well, and he was going to do everything he could to promote that team. So you had Hitler there. But then this is during the time of the Great Depression. And so you had many individuals who were coming out of poverty, who were in poverty, who had to overcome great adversity. One of the individuals who was a rower in the boat with the other boys in the boat, his past, it goes into details and how he was 15 years old, and basically it was a kind of a wicked stepmother situation, but the stepmother basically said to, you know, his real father, him or me. And so he showed up home, and they were leaving, all of them, and he was left alone. He was abandoned. And so what do you do at 15 when your family abandons you? Well, that was a part of what he had to overcome individually and the struggles that he faced. But he was a boy in the boat. And as the individuals in the boat became successful, it was tied to the teamwork that they shared together. And they learned how to not only overcome individual struggles, but they learned how to really accomplish success as a team. The new heights that they were able to accomplish together was with the individual functions as a team pursuing gold. And this is in the midst of a Great Depression, and there was a lot of adversity, many of them coming from poverty or coming from poor background. And yet they were able to succeed and be victorious as they went for gold. Well, this is much like our calling. Individually, we have a past, we have a history, and we are becoming heroes if we press together as a unified team. Diamonds are found in mines. Pearls are found in oyster shells. Kind of humble beginnings for those jewels. God knows our history. He knows what we're working with. Jesus Christ is the Ancient of Days. And God is taking something with a very humble past, and he's creating something that is faultless, like a beautiful jewel. Diamonds neither decay nor die, and they can endure the test of fire. Those who remain faithful to God and never lose the proper fear for God are heroes, and God considers them his precious jewels. Two scriptures to conclude, Malachi 3 and verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16, it says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." For those who fear the Lord, those who are in awe of him, those who recognize his great power. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son and serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God." Those who serve God properly, with the proper fear of God, with the right heart, with the right attitude, with the right mindset, are of great value to God. This is gold. Heroes of gold, or heroes of old with hearts of gold, maybe you might say. This isn't based on Olympic glory, Olympic heroics, but it's based on heroics from the heart and have those who have a proper fear for God. One scripture to conclude, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And I hope that as we continue to hopefully grow older, we know that's, you know, growing old is not for sissies, and it's better than the alternative. As we continue to grow older, we hope that we keep the right perspective in mind. It's not only about what we can do physically and the exercise that we can do physically. We do what we can. We know that the physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We do what we can physically, but we recognize there's something more to come. We do as what we are able to. 1 Timothy 4 in verse 8. 1 Timothy 4. In verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little. And there is profit there. It profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. The ultimate acceptance is when the hero of heroes, the Ancient of Days, says, well done, good and faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.